Well, greetings and good morning. Good morning to you in outer land. And I'll say good morning to my son, David, who's watching in Minneapolis. At least he said he would. The question is, who is the Holy Spirit? And when I was given this challenge, I thought, that's an easy one. I can get up there and tell him right away. The Holy Spirit is a person. Well, not just a person, it's a spiritual person. Well, it's more than that. It's God. God's the person. And then God is in us through the Holy Spirit. Hey, you know, this is complicated as I was getting into it. And I can't get out of it with an easy word. And the Holy Spirit is not an it. A lot of people look at it as, oh, it's a spirit in us. It's God in us. That's a power source. Well, you know, as I was preparing for this, I was writing fast in my on paper, trying to get notes on the Holy Spirit. And whenever I was writing, I'd come to the Holy Spirit, I'd take a shortcut, I would put H-S, Holy Spirit. And then I thought, you know, I write H-S all the time on documents, and they say, oh, just put your initials here, Harvey Smith, H-S. That made, my mind went back to when I was younger, and I used to be an altar boy for an Episcopal church priest. And one time I looked on the altar, and here was this great big I, and next to it was HS. And I thought, I wonder, is that God calling me Harvey Smith, HS? Wow. Well, the priest set me straight when I asked, did it mean I, Harvey Smith? No, it didn't, he said, and he explained. And then a funnier thing even happened to me. When I was about in middle school, and I had a crush on a girl next door, but I didn't know how to make a move to let her know that I had this crush. And then one day, she came home from high school. And I was in middle school, but she was a senior in high school. And she wore this new bandana on her head. And it was our high school colors, orange and black. And it was from Mohawk. So I saw it, and it had right across there, Mohawk. And underneath it had HS. Some of you know where I'm going with this. I thought, she's got a crush on me. She had them embroidered, especially my initials, underneath our school. Well, a friend of mine set me straight on that and explained it was Mohawk High School, not Harvey Smith. Well, actually, you know, I was crushed and even embarrassed. But here I am now speaking on the HS Holy Spirit. Well, now I'll continue with the complicated question. Who is the Holy Spirit? We worship God in three in one. He is the Father, He is the Son, and He is the Holy Spirit. Now that's important that we understand. If God is all-powerful, He's in us if we received His Son, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. That's the way the Holy Spirit comes about. I was 20 years old and in the Air Force when I asked Christ to come into my heart. One of my biggest hang-ups, I was ready to give up everything for Him except one thing. And that was my will for His will. I thought, how could a God, a spiritual being, know what's best for me than me. And so I was really at odds of fighting. God, if I surrender my will to you, what if you choose something for me that I don't want? What if you have me go to a third world country and they'll kill me maybe? And I wouldn't have a chance to go to college. I wouldn't have a chance to get married. I wouldn't have a chance to have kids. I don't know if I could surrender my will to his will. Well, I fought him. And God was speaking to me through his spirit saying, I want you. I want all of you. And one day, one night, got in my car, went and drove as far as I could. I was stationed in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, drove the car at the end of the Cape, got out, went into the water. I don't know what I was trying to do, a run, I guess. And I gave my life to Christ. And I can tell you, if you've never given your life to Christ, do it, because it's your power source, guaranteed. It'll get you through when you won't be able to get through, at least in your mind. Where did the Holy Spirit come from? Well, the answer is from God from the very, very beginning. In the Bible, in Genesis, if we could have that up on the screen, Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, there's the key, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right from the beginning, there was the Spirit of God. And out of that came change, tremendous change. The earth all of a sudden took shape. Eventually, man and woman, out of that came, we have the birds and the animals, the sea, and all that is in it. And then, when we first started the church here, most of us that started it came from traditional churches. And we came to a Bible study that was different. And we geared it for the college students and for the professors. But yet everybody was starting to come to it. And we grew from a very small amount. In fact, the first Bible study, no one came. The second Bible study, the second week, one guy came from the campus. And we had a cake each time ready for, you know, ready to have for social time. And of course, the first time we just ate the cake ourselves. The second time, this one guy came, and I think he ate about half that cake. And he took the rest back, he said, for other people. Well, this Bible study started to grow and grow, and eventually the people in it from other churches said, you know, and our Bible study was open for anybody. We had every conceivable group come. But they all started to say, if you ever start a church, I'd like to be there. I'll be there. And so, I don't know, you probably have heard this before, how the church actually became a church. As I prayed to God, I said, you know, I don't know how to start a church. I don't know anything about it. And there's plenty of churches already in Potsdam. But, God, if you want the church here in Potsdam geared for the college ministry to students and faculty, I said, have the people come up to me and say, if you start a church, I'll be there. And here was the kicker. And that they would say, and I'll tithe 10% of their money. And so I waited. All of a sudden, people started coming to me and saying exactly that. If you start a church, I'll be there. And I'll tithe to that church. I thought, and I never even said a word to them about it. Never prompted them about, oh, you want to come to church? Would you be willing? I never said that. And when I prayed for 12 people to do this, and we had 10, and when 2 came to me, I thought, oh boy, what am I going to do? I was afraid. You know, what do you do next? And the last two that came said that they would. They would tithe if they came, if we started a church. So we started it, and here we are. Now, the church didn't know what to do right away, and we eventually met as just a group, but we wanted change, just like God's Spirit started to change this earth. And we decided, you know, some of the things that we wanted to change was we didn't like the plate that was passed in our churches that we attended. It was a collection plate, and you kind of felt guilty if you didn't put some money in it. So we said, we're going to have a church where we're never going to pass the plate. And we'll put a little box in the back. If people want to give, fine. But if people stop giving, we close the church. We stop it. Then the church shouldn't be here. People have to give from their heart. That was different than the churches we had been to. And here we are over 50 years later, and we've never had to close the church. People have given out of their hearts. And the other thing that we found that was different was we started to raise our hands in our service. And we decided we were going to call a pastor. So we called John Ault, who's here today, and we asked John, would you be our pastor? And after he came and looked us over and we looked him over, it was for sure thing. God says, yes, this is the person that should be pastoring. And we were really happy. And so John introduced some real new things to us. We started to sing praise songs instead of old fuddy-duddy hymns that hardly any of us knew or could sing well. And they were peppy. We were clapping our hands. I mean, for all of us, this was new. This was really different. We were excited. And then the excitement got to the point where we needed to find out more about God. And we just got to that point. What else, God, do you have for us? So one of the men in our group had a retreat, and a men's retreat, and only probably a dozen or a little more than that came. And we went up to Owl's Head, and we sat around and with our Bibles, and there was just somebody brought some food, and we were here up at Owl's Head at a 4-H camp. And it was kind of cold, and we just sat around, what are we going to talk about? And somebody said, the Holy Spirit. Now, I have to back up a little bit. When John came, after about a few weeks, he came up to me personally, and he said, Harvey, I want you to know that I speak in tongues. And that was a new one for me. I go like, you do? And I have to tell you my background, being Episcopalian, that just did not set well because we don't believe in things like that. And then I thought of when I was younger, we used to look in one of the Pentecostal church windows when the people were having their worship, and we were laughing at them as they were doing speaking in tongues, and they were having a rocking time. And we actually, I made fun of them, and I thought, boy, I could never be like that. And John said, I speak in tongues. I thought, that guy, he's such a nice guy. Well, it's funny how things go. I kind of let it go for a while, and then I thought, hey, maybe he's got something there. So I started reading in my Bible, and sure enough, it was in there a lot, encouraged, by even Jesus. And I thought, why didn't I see this before? Why did I put a closed door on it? And then it got to the point where I started asking people about it and praying about it. And then I received it myself. I had finally got to the point where I had a desire to speak another language that was a God language. And I remember, John, you probably don't remember, but I called you up the night I received it. And John says, oh, that's nice. Now I'm going back to bed. I was real excited, though. Well, Al said, as we were there, other people wanted to study the Holy Spirit. To my knowledge, John and I were the only ones that had this godly language, new language. And we kind of just were amazed at how people were swelling around the Holy Spirit. And then the speaking in tongues came up as they were reading the Bible. And they asked about it. Well, John, we became kind of the springboard for what it was. And then, make a long story short, we one by one, guys wanted us to pray for them to receive this gift. And all but one left with this new language. And it was beautiful to see the power of God through a whole different avenue than we had been brought up with in our traditional churches. We did have change. That was kind of the foundation of our church here. But then it's funny because when I was given this talk, I told several people God was putting on my heart to maybe take a look at this gift of speaking in tongues. And they said, oh, we've had lots of teaching here. We don't need more. I said, you know, I've been here quite a few years now, and since I've been here, I have never heard a tongue given in church or an interpretation, which is scriptural. And you may have all heard a lot, but nobody's doing anything about it. And what good is your faith if there isn't some deeds, some action? So here I am. I'm talking about it because I believe God wants to put it on my heart, and I hope it will be on your heart. The time when we saw the Holy Spirit working, then people started coming into church. Unbelievable numbers started coming, especially college students. We had a whole orchestra of college students. We put on a cantata. It was beautiful. We had it filled. We had a church filled to the literally to the rafters for what we were doing. I think one of the things we can do in our church to really see more power would be to invite the Holy Spirit to start taking over in our lives again. For some of us, for the first time, but some of us, we need to go back to our first love. Our first love, when we first fell in love with Jesus. As you get on in age, sometimes it wanes away. Bring it back. The Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament primarily that of strength. We see everything from Gideon to Samson. The Holy Spirit brought about physical strength. In the New Testament, the strength is more spiritual. And the Holy Spirit was promised by God to everyone. Everyone gets it, but there were conditions. And the condition was his son, Jesus, as Lord and Savior of your life. Up on the screen, I'd like Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. He said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. In order for our hearts to become a heart of flesh, it has to have the Holy Spirit, period. It's a beautiful scripture. We learn that the Holy Spirit gives you a desire to live a life that is more loving, that is more kind, and more generous, and that the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Look at Joel 2, 28 and 29. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I've seen even little children go forth. You know, I remember when I was going to school in Indiana at a church there. I was friends with another couple, and they had a daughter, Katrina was her name, and she, at the end of one of the services, the pastor gave an altar call, and nobody came forth, so he gives another, the choir sang another hymn. Nobody came, and all of a sudden, Katrina said to her mom, I'm going up. She was 4 years old. Her mother grabbed her and said, sit down. And so she sat down, and her mother didn't have a chance. She all of a sudden came running and down front. And the pastor took her off and prayed in the prayer room, brought her out after. Everybody had left. I stayed around with a couple. And the pastor said, she asked Christ into her heart as her Lord and Savior. And I don't know, I think us adults kind of thought, well, that's nice. But you want to know something? It couldn't have been more than a few months later, I was sitting with the father in a hospital and watched Katrina die of a swelling in the brain. I forget the disease now, but they couldn't stop the problem. They had a bad diagnosis, and she passed away. And I'll tell you, there wasn't a dry eye at the funeral. We were so happy Katrina went forward and that we didn't stop her. Have you ever had a time when the Holy Spirit just poured out at a group maybe you were with? I had two instances like this in my life. One of them, I was a campus minister at the time here at SUNY Potsdam, and I went to a conference at Yale University for campus ministers, week long. But midweek, one of the speakers was up speaking, and when he finished a particular point, he was ready to go down and look at his notes. And this guy stands up. There were probably 70, 80 of us there. This guy stands up and he starts crying. And he says, I have to confess some sins to you. And he gave forth some sins that made your hair stand on end. And I thought, what is this? And the speaker, godly speaker, said, would two or three of you men take him out into the hall and pray for and with him? And then he started to go, and this lady stands up, and she starts crying, and she confessed some really heavy, deep sins in her life in front of all of us. And the speaker said, would two or three of you ladies take this lady out in the hall? Well, it wasn't within 10 minutes. We were all out in the hall praying for someone, and we were all crying. We were all confessing our sins. I'd never seen anything like it. Now, these were all ministers. And I thought, wow, I could see maybe somebody from the broken side of life coming forward. But these people, yes, the Holy Spirit, when it falls, amazing things happen. The only other time I and a few of us in the church took some students, quite a few students, in fact, to hear a speaker in another church in another town from here. And he was a great speaker, and we wanted our students to hear the message he had. At the end of the message, I went up to congratulate and thank the speaker, and I heard some crying. In the back, I turned around, and almost every student was crying. And then some of them were speaking in tongues. And we never instructed them. They were just doing it. And I'm thinking, what's happening? The Holy Spirit had just come down. Don't ask me how or why. I hadn't prayed that, but it did. And it was an amazing thing. What only God through the Holy Spirit could do, not on man's doing alone. Well, one prayer time, the Holy Spirit, let me back up. I want to tell you, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a counselor. He is a comforter. Do any of you have a comforter on your bed? Anybody have a comforter? Maybe we don't have, well, we have a few. They've done research on comforters are things with usually a couple lines, and in between there's some fluff or something to keep you real warm. And most people put a comforter on the foot of their bed, and at nighttime they found out they don't put it over the bed, they put it off to the side. They don't use the comforter what it was really meant for. It was just for looks. I can't help but think that the Holy Spirit, one of the tones for the Holy Spirit is comforter. And I think that's what we do. We have it to look nice, but we just kind of put it aside. We don't do anything with it. We need to use the comforter for what it is. He's also the counselor. He's a helper. He's an intercessor and a power source. And he has many gifts. There's a gift of healing. There's a gift of wisdom, discernment, words of knowledge. That's just the name of very few. Joyce Meyer said, the Holy Spirit helps us to do things with ease that would otherwise be hard or even impossible. Excuse me, paper isn't. There you go. One of the gifts today that I said I want to emphasize is tongues. I mentioned it, and people have said, I think we need to hear that message because we only take certain things that we want. Some of you may feel uncomfortable even hearing that. I think I would have when I was younger. But it's part of God's plan for us is to have as many gifts as we can have. That's a strong one from the Bible. When we called John, I can remember we really were into the different gifts. We went all over. We drove, I remember, to Governor to an Episcopal priest's house to hear about the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues. We drove to Syracuse, Liverpool, to hear a Catholic priest. And he had a beautiful message on tongues. And I thought, wow, this Spirit is moving all over. I haven't heard much of it lately, and that's one of the reasons why I would like to bring it up again today. Many refer to the speaking in tongues as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They say we have two baptisms. One is by water and then by Spirit. Jesus, that happened with him. He was baptized in water and the Holy Spirit came down on him. And one of the gifts from that Spirit is a new language. And some of us refer to the tongue part as a personal, individual thing. In my own life, I find daily to speak in my new language. At first, it started off as a rough language, but it's fluent now, and it's very personal, and I feel it's a praise time. One of the reasons I use my new gift is when somebody used to come to me and they would say, "Harvey, would you pray for me?" And I say, "Yeah, what? What could I pray for you?" And they say, "It's personal." And they'd walk away. And I'm thinking, what do I pray for? Well, I'll just pray for their name is what I used to do. Now I can pray in the Spirit. And I let my new language, probably is hitting the nail right on the head. I don't know. I don't understand it. But I can now pray knowing that prayer spiritually is going to reach that person, where before in my English language, I wouldn't know what to pray. All through the Bible, this gift is shown in great detail, from Paul's invitation, saying he wished everyone would have this gift. When I read that, I remember the first time I thought, how come my pastor never told me that when I was growing up? Never heard about it. And in Pentecost, many received the gift all at once. And in some cases, like Cornelius, went home and his family received that gift. Even Jesus spoke of tongues when he gave the Great Commission to his disciples. And he said, quote, "And these will accompany to those who believe in my name, that they will drive out demons and they will speak in new tongues." Wow, how come I never saw that all those early years? It's there. Well, there isn't enough time to cover everything up here. So I've asked Glenn and Beverly, who have this gift, along with John Ault and myself, we're going to be up front. We're going to rearrange our chairs so they're kind of in a sort of, not a circle, but a wing bit, so that if any of you would like to come forward after the service ends, we would love to have you question us. If you have questions, or you can listen to us as we share about what beyond me, they can share about the gift in their lives, but you can get into it more. Maybe God is hitting you with, you need more about this. Some of you don't care about it. There are other things. There's a social hour at the end you could go to, no problem. But if God is speaking to your heart, you want to know more about this gift, stick around and start asking some questions, or stick around and listen to what others are saying and grow in this area. There will even possibly be a time someone may say, "I'd like to receive that gift. Would you pray for me?" We'll be happy to. In any case, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me try to explain a simple question. Who is the Holy Spirit? Remember, he's a person, a spiritual person, God, and not an it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our gathering. Thank you for the time. Thank you for the many years we've had fellowship with you, Lord, and fellowship with one another here. Bless our time and speak to our hearts. Speak to any who are contemplating to know more about you through your Spirit and love in Jesus Christ. in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.